And you know, Mike, his name is spelled like this. Okay. So anybody here want to take a shot at it? Okay, I didn't think so. All right, so, hey, what you have to do is go back to the earliest times, remember the Smiths and the Johnsons and how they came up. And so there's a couple of ways, and we're not sure if we did the research, how exactly this name came apart. So first off, you have me. Second, we have sick. Okay? So, Al Ski. Al Ski, right? Because he used to be in the postal service, and since he was sick, then Al had to deliver and ski. So, that's one interpretation. There are a few others. We're not sure where this came from. He pronounces it Mech or Meech. Okay? Or
Mech.
Okay, and we know that originally it was this. Me. Okay? And basically he's too meek, too humble, okay? So, you know, call Ski. And why is it Ski? Because, you know, they lived on this mountain and he used to ski around and around and around and around and around and around and around again. Which is why genetically Mike's got some aggressive challenges. And why, living in Wisconsin, he calls it God's country. Now I did some research on God's country. Wisconsin's also called the frozen tundra. So, and if you were to break down, you know, Wisconsin.
Oh, no.
Okay. Okay. We. Cons. Sin. I'm confident that God would name the area of the world that he loves the most. We can't sin. Yeah. Sure. Sven, Ali, you can't sin. Okay, you go to Wisconsin. All right, so what else do we know and or need to know about Mike before he comes up? First off, he's from Boscobel. He is married to the beautifully talented Diane, right? At the age of 19, he understood the Church of the Body of Christ and what that meant. Came to know right division and to understand salvation all at once, which I think is pretty amazing, because most people get ingrained in tradition and religion, and then they come to this truth, and then their heads filled with all this trash that, okay, which is right, and you constantly have to empty the trash before you can, you know, really bring in the right things. And so you know, pretty amazing. He mentions that the one of the most humorous things that has happened to him at conference was that Heidi Darcy was correcting him in the Greek. And obviously so, I mean, appropriately so.
Yeah, how old was she?
Six, eight?
Yeah, eight
years old.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, what I really like is that, you know, at least he admits when he's wrong. And so, you know, he was very patient with her and excellent. So, yes, you know, why do you keep coming back to Phoenix? And, you know, when I first read this, I read it on a BlackBerry, and... you know, why are you coming back to Phoenix? And it said, Kathleen. And then it said, the Word of God. And I thought, okay, well, those are the two things I focus on, but you better not be.
I don't think it was right.
But, and then, you know, as I got home and I read it on my bigger screen, this is why right division is so important, okay? And why, you know, religions get in so much trouble is because they don't look at the full context, all right? And what the message really said is to see the way Barney hassles Kathleen.
Yeah. That's true, yeah.
Colon, the Word of God. So are you saying Barney hassles the Word of God? He wrestles with the Word of God. All right, then he said forced humor.
Wow, that's a given.
Point well taken.
Yeah, thank you.
Yep. And then the personality of Telkel and Kathleen. So, okay, he uses my wife's name twice, all right? So, you wonder why you're not staying with us this time?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. The other thing is, and again, the humility of Mike, which is great. Now, you have to understand that as a doctor, okay, I mean, he's got all this technology available. And he reminded me one time that this is, you know, the size of Mike's brain. And then, just to make sure that I stayed humble, he showed me the size of my brain. What are you saying? Good things come in small packages?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Excellent. Well, as I did with the others, I'm doing this study on the man of God, and I thought, you know, which of those that were described as the man of God describes Mike? I was reminded of Judges chapter 13, verse 6. It says, "And when the woman came and told her husband, saying, 'A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God.'" That's Mike. That's what I think. Mike walks in the room, and the room lights up. It's true. Absolutely true. And women everywhere are talking about Mike, you know, the man of God, right? My wife's asleep. Mike, man of God. The countenance of an angel. Now, again, here's where right division is really, really important, okay? Because it's colon, very terrible. And we know what that means. Fearsome. No, it doesn't mean that. It means awesome. And I can't think of a better description than Mike the Awesome.
Amen.
Come on up.
Oh, man.
You got to follow that
one. Yeah, well.
You want my brain?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to have my brain. Yeah. I'll throw it at you later. Okay.
Wow. How can you live up to that?
Well, it's great to be here. And great message, Bob. I'm just going to start talking. I should probably pray, like Bob said. So let's do that. Our dear Heavenly Father, through your Son, the Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, the Lamb whose blood was preordained before the foundation of the world, the Son of God, the Creator of all things, the one who brought redemption to us, the many, many awesome things that the Son of God, the Creator of all things, has done for us, are unspeakable, but they're certainly true. And we thank you that, first of all, that you made this life possible in the flesh, and that your word and your tremendous truths can touch us in this life and in this world. We thank you that we're children of light. Even though we might not think of ourselves that way, we know that that your works are being worked out through us, and we can be confident of that. We pray for all the loving people that are here today, men and women that love you, Lord, and that stand for you, Lord, and that love each other in the Lord, in you, Lord. And we know that we all have our situations in the flesh, but we know that your word tells us to trust in you, and that your strength is great, and that you're the mighty God, and you can be trusted in for all things, no matter what. And we thank you for that. We pray that we might glean from your word now, and that what comes out of my body just might be a kind of like a director for all to your word, and that we might understand how truly your awesome promises are, and how much the Father, through the Son, as witnessed by the Holy Spirit, truly and in fact are real, and how much they really have done for us, and how much they love us. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Almost like that.
Okay. Oh. Okay. I normally drop these. Because it's fighting back. So I might wreck them.
How timely was that?
Yeah. Today you guys are going to have to Today you guys are going to have to be patient with me and help me out about what I'm going to try to put forth. As being a humble adopted son of God, which in fact we are, all of us are, what my message is actually going to even unfold from Bob's message, because Bob was talking about the situation between a husband and a wife of God, a woman of God, and how this is applied to the Lord Jesus Christ as our head and us being the church, and this is a great mystery. I think that somebody should do a complete study on what that great mystery is. But all the things that the Lord and Savior Christ Jesus has done for us as men, I don't know if we can ever approach that. You know, but certainly we are supposed to give our lives for our women. We are supposed to, as Christ did, that's at least one picture there. And what I'm going to be talking about today, I'm entitling these two talks, Astounding Promises, and I'm going to be studying in Ephesians 1, and I'm going to be doing an expanded Greek translation, if I can talk, of Ephesians 1, 1 through 9. And the point of this is that if we concentrate on Ephesians 1 and other scriptures in our calling, we are going to be taken back by how the Father and the Son truly love us. We'll be astounded, totally astounded. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go over those verses. I'm going to speak out some Greek words, so you're going to have to be patient with me as we go, because I am not an expert. But I do know this. I know that we are not aware. We are not aware of the majesty and totality of our God, and we are not aware of how much He really loves us. I believe this. I believe that the more we study and understand about our God, the greater we find Him to be. And I believe that possibly we're incapable in this flesh of understanding how great He is. But we have to have faith. That's a real important factor in our walk. Faith in Him. Faith in what He says. Faith in what He's done. That's really important to Him, that we have faith in Him no matter what. And believe me, the promises that He has given into us are astounding. So here we go. What I'm going to do is I'm going to be reading from Ephesians 1, 1 through 9. We're going to go through each verse. I'm going to list off some important Greek, Koine Greek words in that verse. And then I'm going to read the verse over as translated by that Koine Greek. So it's going to be a little bit different than what you find in the English. But what I'm attempting to do, and I'm not attempting to do this for my own edification whatsoever. I'm really not. What I want to do, or what I would pray to do, what I'm praying about, is that whatever comes out here, you'll just soak it in. Because I diligently went to the Koine. I went to all of the important books of reference that I could, and in prayerful reverence to try to understand what these verses as much as I could really mean. Not saying we can't get great things out of the English, but I truly believe if you go back to the Koine, you're going to find a more fuller meaning. And that's all I'm attempting to do in these two messages, okay? So just bear with me now. Now, Ron, when we get to about 3 minutes, you can just give me the hook, okay? All right, here we go. May God be true, but every man a liar. Amen. Romans 3.
Amen.
Lest we forget how precious we are to the Father, that our value to the Father has nothing to do with any part of us whatsoever. Not our fleshly beauty, if we have any. Not our fleshly talented minds, if we are. Not our supposedly pure fleshly and lovely hearts, which they aren't. Not because of who we are or who we're not in this world. Not because of who our parents and our relatives were or were not in this world. And not because of all the great works that we do or we do not. But because of the Almighty choosing through the self-sacrificial, humbling, obedient commission fulfilled in Christ Jesus, the beloved Son of God. We have been chosen out as the inheritance of the Father, as His own precious inheritance. We are sealed as such by God, the Holy Spirit. That's a matter of fact. It has nothing to do with who we are, what we've done, what we haven't done, how great we are, how small we are. It doesn't matter to the Lord, because in Christ, the Son of God, He has done it all, as Bob has said. It's Him. He has done it all for us. In verse 1 of Ephesians 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, or actually Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. One word, apostolos, an apostle. What does that mean? Paul was an apostolos of Christ Jesus. He was one who is sent on a mission with full authority of God. Paul, one sent on a mission with the full authority of God, of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. The will of God here is thelematos, thelematos. And you have various words for the will of God. And thelematos means the Father's heart, His heart's desire. All right? Get a picture of this, because God wants us to know the knowledge of Him. He wants us to know Him. What's He like? What's my Father like? My true Father. What's He like? And that's what I'm going to get at today. And when I'm at home, and I don't do this much. When I'm at home and I study this, I break down. It says here, by the will of God, by the heart's desire of the Father. This is how it opens up. It opens up. I'm sending this man to you, chosen of me, with my full authority, to, through my Son, the beloved Son, and all He's done, and to you saints and to you faithful ones, the ones who you have faith in me. I'm sending this message to you from my heart. God our Father. Really. We could read, Paul, a sent one of Christ Jesus with full authority of God, by the heart's desire, I ain't kidding, of the Father, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God. Peace is the word, Greek word, eirene. And what it means is it means, may a state of God's inner peace be unto you. Just kind of just take this in. And I'm not kidding. Just kind of let this flow in as we go. May God's inner peace be unto you, knowing you are reconciled to God. Okay? If you have God's peace, you know peace is equated with reconciliation. Because once you're reconciled, the Scriptures tell you, you have peace with God. All right? So, those who do not have the Son have death and are under the wrath of God as we live. They are. So no matter how you feel or think, if you are in Christ, you have peace with God. It doesn't matter how wacko even your human mind gets. You, in fact, have peace with God. So I think when Paul the Apostle always said, grace to you and peace, it's more than, oh yeah, grace to you guys and peace, you know. It's the grace of God through Christ. What is that? We're going to look into that. And the peace of God. Because
in order to have peace with God, you have to be reconciled through his Son. So his wrath isn't upon you, which is the sentence of death. All right, so I think this is all encompassing in these scriptures. And peace from God our Father and from the Lord Christ Jesus. Interesting. We have two of the persons of God here that want peace for us and want grace for us. And this is all in the Father's will as we go. So it could be read, grace and the state of inner peace be with you, knowing that you are reconciled to God and are excluded from his wrath, from God our Father and from the Lord Christ Jesus. Blessed be is the Greek word ulagetas. Say it. Ulagetas. And what that is that not blessed be, but it's praise his name. Ulagetas. And you'll find that when he blesses you with ulagesas, with blessings. So it's like we praise him in amongst another form of this word is blessings that come forth from him, whatever that might mean. But ulogetas means this, the God, the Blessed One, the one who should be praised, worthy of praise or blessing. It's used only of the Father and of his Son in the Scriptures. Ulogetas. So more than blessed be, it's praise be. And as we go, why are we praising the Father? We'll find out as we go, because his heart's desire is going to be laid out before us. And that's why we praise him and we praise his name for who he is. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Christ Jesus, who has blessed. What you do find in our calling is a lot of words that are in the aorist tense. Our calling is riddled with Greek aorist verbs. And what that is this. Is an example of this is that you were preordained before the katabole of the world. So that you were in the mind of God before the deep. The earth was plunged into the deep. And the aorist tense of the Greek, this might be technical, I told you. So don't be falling asleep on me. All right, I'm watching you. But you know, if you get into Greek, you'll get into all these tenses. The aorist tense is our calling is riddled with it. And what this means is that God has done things for us once and for all in the past in his mind and heart, and he doesn't have to do it anymore. They're done once and forever. So when you were in the mind of God and you were going to be, or we were foreordained in his mind to be a son of God, that's an action that was done once and that's it. It's done and it's over in his mind and his heart. That's the picture of I want you to try to get from this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed. Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The word all is the word passe, and it means every possible thing of a particular class. That is to say that our dear Heavenly Father has blessed us with every blessing in the class of spiritual. In Christ, within Christ, en Christo, within Christ, what can be told concerning
the beloved Son of God at this very second. Let's turn to 1 Timothy 6. Are you still with me? Does this is this edifying for you?
Yeah.
I know this is a bit technical, so it might be
a bit technical,
but it is the Word of God. Okay. My point is. What about Christ Jesus at this present time? What this is going to do is this is going to give you an opportunity to see what's coming for you in the Son of God. 1 Timothy 6, 11 through 16. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession. Behold, many witnesses I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickens all things, and before Christ Jesus, whom Pontius Pilate witnessed in a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his time shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only has immortality. Where is he? He's at the right hand of God. Who are we? We're the fullness of the Son of God. What state is he in? Dwelling in the light, which no man can approach, unto whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. The Father has chosen you out for his own inheritance, so that he has placed you in his Son in a light that no man can see and that no man has ever seen and that no man can approach. One of these awesome promises. Colossians 3, 1 through 4. Just try to, like I said, you're going to have to bear with me, but just try to piece these things all together, remembering where we started and we're moving on here. But as we go, these astounding promises are going to be ever flowing. They are. However this comes out today, I can say that and witness that to be true. That what the Father has done for us through the Son is astounding. And that he would bother with us in the first place is astounding. Well, what this does is it shows the love of God in power. The truth we're covering. It shows the love of God in power and how great it is and how unapproachable it is for humans without his help, I guess I could say. Colossians 3, 1 through 4. If he then be risen with Christ, where is he? What state is he in? Who are you to him? If he then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, because your inheritance is in a light that's unapproachable in the Son of God. Things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. This is a spiritual walk. We walk in the Spirit. We walk after the new man. It has nothing to do with the flesh. These things can't be understood by a fleshly human being. It has to be done through the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And you'll find, as we go, that all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ are all outflowing, according to the Greek, from God the Holy Spirit. I found that. It just came up. That the Holy Spirit may have a real work being done in and through us at the right hand of God. And that's how we obtain every blessing in the class of spiritual that the Father wills us to have. That work may be carried out by God the Holy Spirit. Just as a little interesting sidelight that came out in this study. Because we have the Father and we have the Son, we know that we're sealed by the Holy Spirit, and then not much is really said about the Holy Spirit, is it? A lot. We don't have the gifts of the Holy Spirit, right? We don't have the fleshly injected power of the Holy Spirit. We know we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. We know that our enlightenment comes by the Holy Spirit. Fabulous things we've been given. Amen. Right? That's why we're all here. You know, that's why we're all here. That's why Forrest puts up with me. Because it's of the Holy Spirit. You know, maybe we'll be invited over there again. But it's because of the Holy Spirit that he does so. But what happens after we resurrect to the Holy Spirit? And what I'm just pointing out, just for your own study, is that the Holy Spirit might be involved in all these spiritual blessings. Because God is a triune God. Right? And then, you know, just a thought that was brought out there. For ye are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. I have that on my wall. I've said this before. One guy walked up and said, "Ye are dead. Ye are dead." He was reading that in my office. He said, "How can you be dead and alive at the same time?" He said that, and I tried to explain it to this guy who was a marine sergeant or something. "For ye are dead. For ye are dead. How can you be dead and alive at the same time?" he says. And his name was Smitty, and he was really an interesting guy. And you know, there's no way to explain something like that to a guy in the flesh. For ye are dead, how can you be alive and dead at the same time? But in fact, we are. In fact, we are. And how can anybody understand that? Well, it's through the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And how can anybody understand the blessings and the power of the Lord? It's through the Holy Spirit. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. You know, our life is hid in an unapproachable light. I mean, really? Really, is this true, or is this just a bunch of interesting sentences? For our life is hid in Christ, the Son of God, in a light that nobody can approach. This is done because the Father's heart and his desire willed it to be so. Okay, so now we're getting a picture of our Father. Starting to get a picture of this one. When Christ is who our life shall be manifested, we shall also be manifested with him in glory. As one friend of mine said, he doesn't know everything. That's Ronnie. It's not Forrest or Barney this time. But that's his brain. Forrest has got his brain held up there. But Ronnie said something really interesting, and I don't know if I'm going to say this as he did, but he pointed this beautiful thing out to me. He said that the working of Almighty God cannot be started until our manifestation occurs. It's almost like our manifestation is of that importance that the whole outworking of blessing and, of course, of the wrath of God that's coming to this planet is initiated by us appearing in the heavenlies in the Son of God. That's what Ronnie said. Agree? Don't agree? Ronnie a little off? We know that. But I'm sorry. But I think that was beautiful, and I agree with him. I agree with him. I agree that our manifestation kicks off the whole working of the Son of God and his work of power rather than of humility. And I believe that's a great thing. So let's look at this again. Praise be. Verse 3. How much time do I have left, Ron?
15 or so.
Okay, we're on verse 3. Praise be unto the God and Father of our Lord Christ Jesus, who has graciously, this is my Greek God, it's not in your scriptures, who has graciously bestowed upon us every possible blessing belonging to this spiritual classification emanating from the exclusive power of God the Holy Spirit within the highest heaven, the very dwelling place of God, within Christ, the beloved Son of God. Almost blasphemous, in a sense. Going back to verse 4, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. So what have we seen? So far, we've seen that our dear Heavenly Father, through His loving heart, has sent this one with full authority to herald out, through the working of the Son of God, that grace and that His inner peace, that understanding that you are reconciled to God the Father, that He is going to graciously bless you with every possible blessing that is spiritual, which we can't fathom, through the power, through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in a sphere that is in the highest heavens, in a light that no man can approach, the very dwelling place of God Himself, through the beloved Son of God, Christ Jesus. And now on to verse 4. Do you get the picture? Are you starting to get the picture? All right, I'm just saying, I'm not, hey, are you starting to get the picture? I'm saying, are you starting to get the awesome picture? Hey, this is your calling. This is our calling. This is my calling. This is our calling. This is who we are. This is what we suffer for, what we yearn for, what we love.
Amen.
This is our calling. According as He has chosen us in Him. Another aorist tense. A one and for all thing. He did it. It's done. He blessed us. It's done. He chose us. It's done. We're in Christ hidden. It's done. Nothing or anything can touch us. It's done. We can't wreck it. It's done. You know, so that's how great our God is because Bob was saying, he was saying, you have to allow the Lord to do things through you. That's hard to do. That's a foolish statement. It's hard to do. But the way we're made up, it's almost like we're fools. You know? Let Him do it. Trust in Him. Look at what He's done for us already. Look at what He's done for us in our calling already. How could we not trust in this one? Things might hurt. Things might get bad in the flesh. You know, but the strength of this can make such things not even noticeable, really. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Now, I don't know how far I'm going to get. But according to is the word kathos. And more so, what it means is it means agreeable to this fact. Rather than according to, it means agreeable to this fact. Agreeable to this fact. It's not wishy-washy. These things the Father doesn't want us to be questioning. These are facts. According to this fact, you guys, that He ex-alexata. That's choosing. Ex-alexata. What does that mean? He chose you out for Himself. More of this picture. All right? More of this picture. These are his words. Can I convince my wife, Diane? Oh, and by the way, without my wife, without the Lord and my wife, I wouldn't be here. I want to say that. Can I convince my wife, you are chosen of the Father? Noah, hey, come on, say it to me. No, I can't convince her of that. I can't convince anybody. Nobody, each of us can't convince either that we're chosen by the Father. You have to experience this yourself. You have to realize this personally. You and your wife realize this personally. Bob and Val realize this personally. Man, what a unity. See, what a unity that creates. Hey, you know, we're not these fleshly people that I want a Cadillac and she wants her ski trip.
What?
You know, no, she's a son of God, I'm a son of God, we're married, or even if you're not married, you're a son of God, you're one with God. What a relationship if you're not married. I wasn't married till I was 31. You know, but when you find that, and you should wait for it, what a unity. What a unity that is, because that's another son of God there. That's another son of God you're messing up with. And as I walked around in here, I thought to myself, you know, you better be nice, Mike. You better be nice. Because you're messing with sons of God in here. You know, and my flesh, I wouldn't say my flesh battles that, but it's true. I'm messing with sons of God in here, no matter how stupid I am, or how ignorant I want to choose to be. You are all sons of God, so I better watch my step with you guys. And I know that to be the case because I know that you're chosen of Him. So nobody can convince you of the fact that you were chosen in Him. You were Alexa, chosen for Himself. It's an aorist tense. He has already chosen you. It's done. It's a done deal. Appointed. You're appointed for God the Father Himself for a specific purpose for Himself. And we go on. He did this because He loves you out of His heart. And what's coming for you is He's going to use you specifically for His purpose and His desire. How can I explain what that is? I don't know. He's using you now that way. But when you have every spiritual blessing in a light that is unapproachable and unknowable to the human mind, how can I explain what His purpose, according to what His love in His heart for you is? All I know is that it's real, and that this certainly can propel me in this world. This certainly, these facts can certainly propel me through this life, knowing I have this one behind me, and knowing how much He loves me, no matter how much somebody doesn't, no matter what I go through for the Lord, no matter what's spoken against me. Another good thing that Bob said, not that you other two guys haven't said great things. I'm sorry. I like the messages of everybody here. And I know it's out of your heart, but Bob made a comment. And I just had a brain lesion. So I'm going to move on. I had a lesion.
Senior moment.
Hey. I'll remember it. They tell you to look at the corners of the room, and it'll come back. And I, you know, in a memory seminar I had that, they told you to look back and forth at the corners of the room. And, you know, so I'll no, seriously, I did. I went to a memory seminar. And then I bought Mega Memory, and I forgot where I put it. But, no, I know Bob said one good thing about what I'm talking about. But, he's chosen us out for His own purpose, through His loving heart. This is of your calling, folks. That's all I'm trying to do here. How much time do I have?
About 10.
What I'm trying to do is I'm just trying to emphasize our awesome calling. And that it flows from the loving heart of the Father. And we'll find that He has chosen us out before the foundation of the world. Now let's get into that. Chose us out, we know, is ex electa, and it means it's appointed. You're appointed of God. You're appointed of the Father for His purpose, because He loves you out of His heart through His Son, and His Son made it possible. It's that simple. His Son made all these things possible for you and me. That's what the Holy Scriptures say. And that's what, at any rate, the Greek word for overthrow, as you know, is katabole. And I'm trying to pronounce these words right. Katabole. And what it means is this. Listen to this one. And again, I talked to Ronnie again, so don't blame me. But,
that's it, I'm not picking the whole of it.
Yeah, yeah, I was talking to Ronnie, and I said, hey Ron, everybody calls this the overthrow, right? And I could have got that for it. But I said, hey Ron, I consulted three of my best lexicons, and this is what I got, Ron. I said, a casting down, a beginning. I found this. As a technical term, for putting a seed into the ground. Listen to this. Also, it means the role of a male impregnating a female.
What?
That doesn't sound like an overthrow to me. But, Oran says, hey, it sounds like when the Lord, between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, He shoved the world into the deep. He took the planet and He plunged it like a seed into the deep. A thrusting down, plunging into the deep. And from that, doggone it. I called you I'd do it. Yeah. I always do. And from that, He brought forth life. Okay, so the katabole it makes sense then. I said, hey Ron, that makes sense. Because He plunged the world into the deep because of the fall of the evil one. And then He brought out life from that. He brought out Adam and He brought out the Son of God. He brought us out and He brought all His callings out. Amen. And then eventually He's going to wipe it out with fire. But it could very well be that the katabole is a plunging down, like a farmer popping a seed into the ground. And then from there comes life. The same with a woman. Life springs from the seed. Not getting weird or anything, But it could be God's beautiful way of describing life. It could be His way of that happens. I didn't manufacture the way kids come into the world. He did, right? And that's His way. That's His way. So it could be a. Oh man, this thing. It could be well, we got part of it left. It could be. Whoa, pretty soon. Better watch. It could be that. No. I'm sorry. You guys do this on purpose. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it could very well be that that's what the katabole is. I'll try to get through verse 4. Before the katabole of the world, katabole. That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now, it just gets better as we go. Remember what we already heard in 3.5 verses of our calling. And then listen to this. That He chose us out for His specific purpose. He appointed you and me for His specific purpose before He plunged the world into the deep.
Amen.
Which was 6,000 years ago, but if we were in His mind before that, how far does that trace back? Where can we put a limit on that? Did it happen after Satan fell? Before Satan fell? I believe we were in the mind of God before Satan was created. Because he knows the beginning from the end. The Alpha and the Omega, the Aleph and the Tav. He knows the beginning from the end. So I truly believe that, before the plunging of the earth into water, it went back before he even created Satan. I really believe that. So what are we saying? You know, are we all crazy in this room here today? No, this is the blessing and power of Almighty God. And that's why he loves us, all of us, because Bob and I were talking about this, and the guys, I think he loves us because he knows we're bulldogs. Because once we latch onto this truth, we're bulldogs, or tenacious. You're not going to tear me away from this truth. You know, and it's like, why did he choose Ronnie and me and Bob and Forrest and Mimi and Val and all these people here, because he knows we're tenacious bulldogs. 3 minutes. Okay, he knows we're tenacious bulldogs with his calling and his power and his love and his truth, and we are not. We have that with inside us that you're not going to rip us away from what my God gave me. I really believe that. I believe that that's why we're all different. We come from all different places, but look at this. And you guys all know what I'm talking about. There's no hemming and hawing. What's he saying? You know what I'm talking about. And I believe that about myself. I wonder, why did he choose somebody like me? Well, because he showed me himself, and if I deny that, I'm insane. Like, I if I deny him, I'm probably clinically insane. It's come to in my life. If I'd ever deny my calling in the Lord, I'd be insane. Okay. So what we can do is I can start with the term that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. All right? Realizing what has gone before. This is the term in the Greek that I'm going to start with, which is that we should be without blame, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Well, listen, I'll take that. If I can be presented before Almighty God, holy and without blame whatsoever, that's a very important factor to a truth to me. And what the Greek phrase for that is, and I'll start with it, it's katen opion atu en agape. That's what the Greek phrase is for. That we should be holy, actually holy and without blame before him in love. And I'll start with that after lunch, okay? And try to get through this, all right? So I really thank you for this. I hope that it was some of edification for you, okay? Yeah.